Welcome, everyone, to the Meaningful Hearts podcast, where we discuss the everyday questions that make us or break us if we let them. With your hosts, Drew and Daniela, take our hands and let's walk this journey together.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Meaningful Hearts podcast. We are Drew and Daniela, Daniela and Drew, here to talk your ears off. Drew's looking at me like, oh, God. On today's episode, we are going to talk about anxiety. Very cliche, but we're going to be talking about something very specific, and we're going to be addressing a question. And the question is, at what level of anxiety do I operate?
Yeah.
Drew, I think this is a good point for you to self-disclose.
Yeah. So I think that for me, I guess I've been thinking about this a lot, but there's recently I was driving, I was on a long drive to work, and I was deep in thought. It's crazy when you're driving to work and you realize, wow, I don't have the music on, I don't have the radio on. You're about 20 minutes into the drive and you've just been in your head the whole time. It's kind of like that for me the other day. And interesting enough, I started to think about a Dave Ramsey episode I was listening to. If anybody knows who Dave Ramsey is, but he's pretty awesome. He's more financially driven, but he does have a panel of people that handle other aspects of life. There is a doctor, I believe Maloney, on there who handles anxiety or any sort of mental or physical issues, relationships. He's a therapist. So there was a guy that called in who had a issue with, I guess, childhood trauma, where he experiences such high levels of anxiety that he's always, I guess, checking and looking for safety. Like, he can't sit still. Like, he's always looking for something to possibly go wrong or happen, to the point where, like, if he's going to, like, into a gas station, get a tank of gas, if he has to wait too long, he'll just leave. Like, he's almost like a sitting duck. And I remember on that episode, the doctor was kind of like, whoa, that's really out of hand. And if you continue to operate at that level, it's going to cause a lot of adverse effects in your life that are not going to be healthy for you. So I was deep in thought while I was driving, thinking about that. And the reason why it came up is because I kind of feel like my heart rate fluctuates sometimes. I'll be calm, nothing going on, but I'll feel like anxious as if something is going to happen, or I'm on the lookout for something to happen. Like I'm on high alert. And I notice this happens to me at times where I'm heading somewhere fun, going to have a good time. And part of me is worried and concerned instead of excited. And I should be excited, but part of me is just concerned and worried. And I don't understand where it's come from, but it's something that is being, I guess, digging into it more and realizing, sitting with it, it's echoing louder and louder. And I'm starting to dig more into it under a microscope, I guess.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I know that it can be pretty tough to sit and think about and self-reflect about your own behaviors and what you're feeling. But I think that it is a very powerful question for you to be asking yourself. And I think it serves as a good inspiration for others to do the same. Because I think you and I have had more conversations, and sometimes it's tough. Like when we're driving, I notice not when we're driving, because it's just one of us driving at a time, but anyway, it's just technical. But I know that there are moments when you've been driving and I will make a comment or an observation about how flustered you get about something like parking or making a left turn in a two-way like traffic street. So I commend you for, I guess, reflecting and trying to understand yourself
like a
little bit more.
Like the sense of urgency to get from point A to point B, regardless, is if I'm always on a stopwatch. I'm always on like a timer.
Yeah. Like you feel like you're going to run out. And this is actually a conversation that you and I had literally yesterday, where you were thinking about, you know, how much time we were going to have dinner, and then how much time we were going to have to get back to your apartment, and then to relax and like lay down. And I was over here like, it's only 6 o'clock. In my mind, and that's something that sometimes I'm a little bit too laid back with as far as time goes. And Drew's like nodding his head like, yeah. But I think reflecting on what it means for you, I think, is important. I think, again, it's a good inspiration for others to do the same, because not all of us are necessarily aware of what level of anxiety we operate on. I know for me, I don't really operate on a high level of external anxiety. I'm more in my head, but it doesn't show as much, which is something that I'm working on in my own life, of how to have a little bit more connectedness to my emotions. But you know, this is kind of off topic. Actually, before I share this, is there anything that you want to add to what I've said, or yeah, just to what I've said?
I think that it's like the thing that I have a skill set with being punctual, or having the ability to know exactly where if in the next 4 hours, how many tasks can possibly be done with enough time to fit all these other things in. And I can almost like calculate it so well and so accurately, it almost impedes on my ability to do too many tasks, because I don't want to spill over, and I'll always end up where I need to be at the right time or earlier. And I could still anticipate anything that might slow me down, but I'll still make it on time. And it's just a skill set that I prided myself in for so long. But at what cost was it really? It's actually a defect with me, because, sorry, I got the hiccups, but it almost puts me in a place where I put so much pressure on myself that I don't get to enjoy things. Like if we have a full day of fun, I look at it as a full day of tasks that we have to do in a certain amount of time. So we get to enjoy this, but I can't enjoy it too much because I have to focus on the next task, or we have to be at this point from point A to point B to point C. And it's been quite overwhelming. And I guess being with Daniela has made it challenged it more, not in a way of like a conflict, but more in a way of let's discuss it and see why that is.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm glad I could challenge you. And I definitely know there are moments where I don't make it easy. I know there are moments where I probably add to the anxious state because I'm pointing it out.
Yeah, so I'm like anxiety and she's comxiety.
She's I just think that my anxiety is different. I guess yeah. I'm anxious about different things. Or I think if I really think about it, you'd be the more anxious one and I'd be the one that's more sad. I get more sad. I get more of my feels than anxious.
Yeah. It's funny because so you try to understand me But I also am like trying to understand you. Why are you feeling like that? Like what's driving you to feel like that? But it's not something that I have an issue with. Like I don't struggle with that. I'll just, and you're like, I struggle with it. And then vice versa. You're with the levels of anxiety that I deal with. You're like, oh, that's fine. You know, we'll kick our feet up. Even though we have like another 30 seconds before the bomb's about to detonate on us.
Or like if we have somewhere to be.
We got time to clip those wires. We got time to figure this out. We're not going to die.
Yeah. Or if we have, I know this has definitely happened where we have somewhere to be and I'm like, oh, I think I have time to clean the bathroom.
Like the other night when you're like, oh, yeah, my friend invited me to go play in the city. And then after the city, I'm going to go to New Jersey. I'm like, I would never do that. I would be like,
it was a good time. I made it on time. And
I'm sorry. I can't play in the city. It's too much for me. I mean, I'm leaving the house, to go to New Jersey, or I'm going to the city and I'm coming back home. That's it.
But I think it all plays into operating on or understanding what levels of anxiety and what's okay and what's not okay. And I realized it's actually interesting we're having this conversation because in my own therapy sessions, there was one particular session where I was talking about my mom and how I feel sometimes she's just very controlling. And I was sharing an instance that happened to my therapist. And my therapist was like, it sounds like your mom operates on a really high level of anxiety. And I don't know why, but that observation, I was like, oh, that makes sense. That tracks. And I think in realizing that, it helps me be a little bit more compassionate and understand that it's not because my mom's just trying to control everything. I mean, in some cases she is, but it's not from a malicious standpoint or trying to be like overpowering. It's more because she worries and she's so anxious so much. And I think realizing that about a loved one was, again, helpful to be more compassionate. And the reason why I share that is because we're talking about understanding what level of anxiety you, Drew, operate. So for our listeners, asking yourself, on what level of anxiety do I operate if I do? And then on what level of anxiety do the people around me operate and how do I handle that? Because I don't operate on high levels of anxiety, but when people around me do, I can't. I just can't. When you're operating on a high level of anxiety, it's different because it's you and it's not something that happens all the time. But sometimes I see some people or like I have conversations and I'm like, wow, you're so anxious. Like, how do you function? You know, it must be really hard. And it like mind boggles me, but it's also like, wow, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought to share that since we're talking about anxiety and the levels that we operate. We've definitely said it at least 5 or 6 times. But I think those are good questions. And I encourage you, Drew, if it's something that you want to explore more of, and then I also encourage listeners, is can you start to track on what level of anxiety you are at different points of your day? Because there may be certain times when you're more anxious than others. Like, for example, you driving to work. Are you thinking about all the million and one things that you have to do for the rest of the week and the rest of the day and the rest of your life?
I'm already on Monday morning.
It's like, and it's still like the previous Monday.
Yeah. I'll let things stack. It's like, I have to do all these things, but I go into goals and things that I want to do and I want to achieve. So it's all the things I have to do today. Then it's all the other things that I haven't done that I need to do. And if I don't do them, how I'll feel about those things, which will ultimately affect how I feel about those things. And then that I'll stack up and then I'll look at a few weeks ahead, how I'll feel about me not doing the things I should have been doing to begin with.
I'm stressed for you right now. Just hearing that that's your thought process. Sometimes it must be really hard.
And it's, Yeah. And it could all be triggered by one misstep in my day. One thing. It's a lot.
It sounds like a lot.
It is a lot, yeah.
And I'm sure if it's a lot for you, or I'm sure that there are people who can relate to that feeling. And I think part of working through it is, one, being open and honest about it, whether it's to your support systems or to yourself, and then figuring out, can I track to better understand? And then get to that point where you're also thinking about, where is this coming from? How did it get to be this way? You know, were there specific events that triggered it? Or have I always been this way? Because I know for my mom in particular, she's probably always been that way since childhood. And to think about somebody living 60 plus years of their life in a constantly anxious state, I'm like, wow, that's hard.
Yeah. I think part of it is when something that happens so often becomes a part of your daily function, mm-hmm. you can no longer see it. It's no longer visible.
It becomes normal.
Correct. It doesn't stand out anymore. It just becomes part of you. And I think that if we had perspective of what we would look like if we would look at ourselves from the outside without the way that we feel, but just looking at ourselves, and we'd be like, wow, that's a lot. They get mm-hmm. to get that perspective of like, wow, I didn't know it was like that. And I think it's scary to think about how when it becomes sewed into our fibers as individuals, and we're not able to get that part of us out. Like it just becomes me.
It becomes part of your neurochemistry, and that's you know, that's a whole other thing that we can talk about in the future,
in next episodes.
But for right now, instead of continuing to talk our listeners' ears off, do you think this is a good point to put a pin in it?
Yes, put the pin in the thing.
So those are the two main questions we all leave you with. Drew, thank you for sharing, for being vulnerable. I appreciate you. I think our listeners appreciate you. He's doing a heart. Oh, look, the screen did a heart. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's Apple stuff for you.
We should do an episode on Apple versus Samsung one day.
That's on our tech our tech podcast coming in the future.
We thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.